Blog Talk Radio.
Time, y'all. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise up your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and to learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. You're on the online happy hour tonight. For those of you who don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective inside someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with the Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those of you who have heard this show before, and also for those who are listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. Broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, I want to say thank you because of you, the callers, the listeners, the bloggers, our show just gets better and better and better each week, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, tonight will be no different. It's Wednesday, February the 2nd, 2011. Or as they say in the country, 2011, it's about to go down like bad stock tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a hot topic. For those of you in the chat room, get ready to type. For those of you who are on the blog, on your cell phones, on your Blackberries, get ready to listen and chime in. Because of the inclement weather, we will not be broadcasting on justin.tv/How Was Your Weekend tonight. But I just want to say thank you for giving us your ear and giving us your fingers on the internet. Let your Facebook friends know that this is going to be something that they need to really grasp a hold of and go back to the podcast to listen in on. And I want to just say thank you to all of you all who persevered the storm. You may not have went to work today, but you ended up going to Walmart some kind of way in the bad weather, especially here in Dallas, Texas. So the next time you see and meet and greet somebody from Walmart, shake their hand. You know, as bad as your job might be and as much as you complain, I know without a shadow of a doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that you would not trade positions to be doing what they were doing. And I just want to applaud them for doing their job well done and taking care of us today, even though we didn't want to be taken care of at work. So this is going to be an awesome show, an awesome topic. If you've seen the links on Facebook, if you followed us on Black Planet, if you've seen what's going on via text message, you got to know that this is real deal, man. We're entering in Black History Month. Now, some may say, okay, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., yeah, that's fine. They may throw a little Malcolm X in between, yeah, that's cool. But we don't get to the nitty-gritty of who we are. In fact, when we talk about who we are, ladies and gentlemen, we only go back so far, maybe just to black and white TV. But it's more to black history than just the Dr. Kings, the Arthur Ashes, the Jackie Robinsons. Those are powerful men. But we want to look at the essence of the black woman, because without the black woman, ladies and gentlemen, there would be no us. And I want you to take hold and think about the image that is portrayed of the black woman today. Now, we're going to discuss this in detail. I got to get right to it because you know it's been on my mind. It's been on the page. If you're following us on blogtalkradio.com, you'll notice the links that have been out there and certain videos and music and different videos that we've talked about that relate to the essence of the black woman, stereotypes that are involved from her music to her look to her swag to her appeal, everything that goes on with the black woman. But are we really focusing on who this woman is? And what's going on? You may have seen the links from Oatmeal Brown coming with the Realness 101. You may have seen the links coming directly from myself. You may have even seen the links coming from our technical director and everybody that's involved with the program. But we're going to talk about it, breaking down. We only got a few minutes tonight, so let's go ahead and look at and hear from the men on the real deal. Now, ladies, I know you may want to chime in. I know you may want to say some things tonight. But we're going to talk towards the black woman, not with the black woman tonight. So I want you to listen. I want to let your ears just adhere to what the men say about you, what the men think about you, and how you are truly portrayed. Because this is going to be something that we all need to put in our spirit, look at ourselves, our sisters, our mothers, and our daughters, and talk about the stereotypes, the top 10 stereotypes of the black woman. Now, it was narrowed down to 10. It's so many. And I encourage my men to chime into the number. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I want to hear from the men on this topic because as I break these down, we're going to look at them in detail and talk about them in depth. So let's look at it. Let's go ahead and get it started. Y'all know how we do. Number 10, it's stated and it's been researched that black women can be very envious and jealous-hearted, especially, ladies and gentlemen, towards another black woman that has what they don't have. Is it envy? Is it foolishness? Is it even a myth? Is it reality? We need to know that because you've seen it. Who that bitch thinks she is? Why she got to be all that trying to wear them shoes? Really? Say word? Now, is that the look? Is that the image that we're really putting out there? You got to look at her in that form of fashion? Interesting. That's very interesting to me because we see it all the time. We don't know exactly what's going on with it. But where did this come from? We got to tear her down with our eyes, look her up and down like she's small in that aspect. I don't get it. I'm going to stay right there with that one. I'm going to have to come back to this one because number 9 is something that a lot of men see in the relationship aspect from the black woman, and I know this is about to light a fire. So looking at number 9, black women really don't know what they want in a man. You know, they embrace the drama that they see on television and, you know, what somebody else may have in that relationship, and you just may say a prayer to God, okay, well, God bless me and send me a man. Okay, well, let me let you know something a little bit about prayer because I do it quite often. It has no sense of humor, ladies. Men as well. Prayer has no sense of humor. So if you ask God to send you a man and you get one that's trifling, he really ain't paying for much, he just wanting to do you and that's about it, don't want to meet your kids, really don't want to meet your family, but he just want to spend time with you after 8 o'clock at night, really can be totally upset with that situation because your prayer was for a man. You got a man, but you're going to have to be specific, and like I was telling a friend of mine earlier, take control of your prayers. Take control of your situation. It may sound hard, it may sound like it's a chore, but really, women, as the creation, as the creators of this earth and of this planet, you're going to have to sit back and be a little bit more serious about what you're asking for, ladies. Let's think about that. Dwell about that and talk about it in the chat room. I know the ladies can go ahead and go off in the chat room. It's open for you to say what you feel and go ahead and get off. blogtalkradio.com/how was your weekend, spell was with a Z in this world. It's going to go down tonight. I already know that the people need to know that this needs to be heard. It's crazy. I know we're going to have some men chiming in. I know we're going to have some not only black men, but white men as well, and also white women, because they have an image too. They see something out there too. They may not say it directly, but they can say it indirectly and call in as well. It's going to be crazy tonight, ladies and gentlemen, focusing on that right there, not really knowing what they want in a man. I mean, I think that in itself really can't put it completely on black women, but, I mean, that is a stereotype that we have, that they really don't know what they want in a man. Moving on down to number 8, let's look at it. The top 10 stereotypes about black women. black women don't get along well with other women in general. They just have male friends. Don't really hang out with a lot of females. Word? Is that really necessary? I need that explained to me, brothers. You hear it. You got female friends that only really hang out with men, with dudes. What is that? If men can bond together and come together, how come women can't do that? Why aren't they getting together? And that's my role, dog. That's my girl. As often as you hear, nah, I really can't hang with her. Who she thinks she's slick? I'm tired of her. Women are trifling, and it comes from other black women. Say word. I'm not understanding that. Maybe somebody can shed some light to me and help explain that particular issue right there, because that's something that I just don't understand at all. How you going to be cool with somebody but not really cool with them? That's your dog. That's your girl. That's your homie. But turn your back. Let her turn her back. And now you got something to say about it. Man, I tell you. It's incredible, man, just to sit back and know that we can talk about this in full detail. You know what I'm saying? I got the gall, I got the gumption that this has to be heard, and the ladies have to hear it. The phone lines are out of control. But I know it's a lot of ladies on the line. Oh yeah, it's out of control. It's out of control. You see that? They're hearing it, man. This is real talk tonight. This is real talk tonight. The weather's bad, you can't chime in. You're gonna have to get in and get something. This is just real deal. Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 stereotypes of black women. This is what we're addressing. Go ahead and let's look at number 7 before I get any further, for real, and before I just go have to open up the phone lines to the men to chime in as well. Black women have gone to the extreme with their beauty enhancements. You know, it's become excessive sometimes, we see, with the liposuction and the heavy eyelashes. You know, these eyelashes are so big, man, they open and close, and they almost like they wave back to you. You know, shaving their eyebrows, wearing weaves. Now, there's nothing wrong with a weave. Don't get me wrong. I see the weave. 3, 4, 5 days, maybe, yeah. I got you on that. But when you hold that piece in your head for 3, 4, 5 years, maybe, without us really seeing your scalp, and you doing the open hand pat to the side of your head every day, why not just be you? Why not be natural? Is it things that you think men won't like that? That's very interesting. I don't really understand. There's a lot of stuff that we need to get some clarity about, men, because there's a lot of stereotypes and images that we're seeing with these women. But where is it coming from? Who's to say and who's to know that this is just really something that we just need to see? Now, somebody's going to go on talking about he's talking about weaves and he's talking about this girl. No. We understand. Enhance yourself, baby. If that's what you feel that you want to do with you, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But when it becomes in excess, Luther Vandross wrote a song talking about never too much. No, not on this situation, baby. But I think that it just is. I mean, even looking in the chat room, what they say is most females, not just black females, hate to see other women happy when they're not, especially in a relationship. Now, this is coming from the blog room. This isn't something I'm even saying. They're putting this in the chat room right now. That's real deal. I want to read that one more time so people can get some clarity on that. Most females, not just black women, but women in general, hate to see another woman happy when they're not, especially in a relationship. Wow. I want to thank the Black Patriot for chiming in on that one. That was pretty intense right there. Because where are we getting the self-understanding that if she's happy, I don't need to be, or I need to tear that down, rather. I can't be happy for her because my situation is bad and I don't like what's going on with me. Billy? Ladies, we need some understanding tonight. Fellas, I need you to chime in. And don't feel as if you need to say the soft, you know, thing because the ladies are listening and you want to say all the right stuff. No, brother. Be real. Stand up. Say what's on your mind. Because the only way the ladies are truly going to understand what we're thinking is if they hear it from you. A lot of women sometimes will say that they want to understand a man and they want to get close to a man. Well, if a brother's going to give you just what they need to hear or just what you think they want to hear, that's not being fair to them. Be real. Open up your mind. Open up your voice. You say it anyway. You say it in the barbershops. You say it to your homeboys. You say it in your text messaging. Here's your opportunity. Speak strong. Have your voice. I got your back, fellas. That's what this is about tonight. The top 10 stereotypes of black women here on the online happy hour. Let's keep the party going, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just get halfway before we even dissect all of this. Black women who make more money than their significant other want to wear the pants in the household and assume the lead in their relationship. They want to step in and take over. You see, the brother steps up, and he may be down on his luck with his job or whatever the case may be. Or you see it in corporate America that more and more black women are stepping up in higher roles and higher positions. Because in the corporate world that they're looking at, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I've got a minority, and I've got a minority because I have a woman and I have a black woman, Afro-American woman, however they need to be addressed. So that tears down the leadership in the household because you have the man who's scratching and looking, and you have the woman who stepped into a power and lead position. Now, does that affect the relationship at home? It shouldn't. But that life and that lifestyle can carry over. And that woman may want to have control in that relationship and feel that, you know, I need to tell this man what to do. Is that necessary in this day and age? Have we seen this before anywhere? Where the structure of the family was because the woman took the lead? Let's talk about that tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Being real, the top 10 stereotypes of black women. We coming with the funk tonight. I need to know these answers, lady, because the only way that we can get some clarity tonight is to hear from the men and hear what they have to say about it. So let's talk about that. Let's go ahead and get right to it, because this topic in itself and this particular one that we're looking at, about the finances. And a lot of us have financial issues, and they have a lot of financial struggles as well. You know, let's think about that, especially in these days and time when money is just tight for the majority of the country. Finances are looking crazy. Things are looking kind of rough and out of order. You want to step in and say, really? Let's just go to the phone line. We got a caller, 773 area code. Last numbers are 9111. Caller, you're on the line on the online happy hour. Who is this?
What's up, Frat? This is Gav.
Gav, what's going on, bro?
Man, it's colder than a pimp's heart up here.
You calling from the shy?
Yeah, man. We got like I wanted to say almost 2 feet of snow. There's 2 feet of snow on the ground, man. I went out there and started moving it around. Yeah.
Wow.
But I just been listening to the show so far. And I just want to say this. You know, that woman knew that man had a half a job when she got with him.
Mm.
All right, so wasn't nothing new. But the thing is, and I always tell my male friends this when they get married, and if they got half a job, I'll tell them, you better go get something else. If, you know, my motto is I work two jobs. So no matter what you're doing, you know, I'm contributing. And I don't want there to be an issue where, you know, anybody wants to cast aspersion about, well, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. That's not even an argument. You know, for the early part of my marriage, my wife, who worked in education, made more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't an issue with us. You know, but I worked two jobs. You know, I had a job, and then I worked normally residential facilities in the evenings and weekends. You know, when my wife wanted to get a second master's, my wife only had one job. I had two, and I paid for her second master's. No loans. You know, we want a new car. I went out and I bought her a new car. You know, I mean, part of it is, you know, men need to be men. You know, so if a man's going to step into the man role and say, this is what I'm going to do, you know, be prepared to do what you got to do. You know, and if a woman wants to wear the pants, you take off those pants and chuck them right at her and tell her for her to do it. You know, I guarantee you, you know, she don't want to wear the pants. She thinks she does, but she don't want to. It's hard being a man. You know, that's what my daddy told me. I don't know about anybody else, but I mean, you want to be the man, you know, you be the man. But you're gonna see how difficult it really is. You know, I mean.
Now let me ask you this, Gav, and that's a good point to bring up. Where did this come from? That, you know, women want to take the lead. They want to step up, and you know, when they make a little bit more money than their man does,
well,
it's
an issue.
Like the power trip. It's a power trip. Where is this coming?
Think,
you know,
I think that only comes out when there's an argument involved. That comes out normally when there's an argument involved. And at night under the sheets is never an issue. You know what I'm saying? That's never the issue when you're getting it. So why gonna be an issue when we're arguing? You know, I mean, I think if he doesn't have a job, you know, if he's not trying, you know, that's when a lot of, you know, that's when it'd be a huge, huge issue. But I mean, if you have somebody there who's trying and you know, to do his best, and he's making effort, and he's not putting y'all in the hole, then, I mean, you have a good relationship, you know, you work with it, you know, you like it, you not, okay, well, go get ready for bed, sugar, take off those clothes.
Okay.
All right.
So we got a stand-up father on the line that's holding it down for the family, and just based on the brief conversation that we're talking about here, man, it sounds like you're taking the lead in your household.
I have to. I mean, now you know I'm in the military, man. And, you know, like I'm an officer. So I have two families. Everybody in on my team, I'm their leader. You know, so they're looking to me for some type of direction. Now, sometimes it's not that much direction I have to give. And sometimes, you know, it's a lot. And sometimes, you know, they need a sounding board. You know, someday they need to hear that I got their back, or here's the right thing to do, you know. And it may be from work-related stuff. It may be down to their at-home lives. But, you know, I have to be able to give that feedback. And I have to do it here. You know, my wife can't, I can't do my job if I don't have the backing of my wife. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's real talk. Ladies, I hope you're hearing that. Gav is speaking real from the shy. Gav, stay with me right there on the line. I want to bring another gentleman on the line that's going to chime in with us. You're on the online happy hour. We're calling out the 202 area code tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, who's on the line with us?
Hey, what's up, man? It's cold up here, boy. What's going on, man?
What's going on, bro? Who's on the line with us?
Oh, it's Greg, man.
Greg!
Yeah.
What's happening, bro? Now, where are you calling from?
I'm coming from Maryland. Outside of Baltimore, or D.C., Silver Springs.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. Appreciate you calling tonight, man. We're talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black women.
Yeah.
And I know you, I don't know if you've been listening to the show for quite some time, but we've talked about quite a few, you know, women who make more money than their significant other. They'll try to step up and wear the pants. We got the issue about women going into the extreme, about what their enhancements with, you know, with the shaving the eyebrows, the weaves, the injections, the lipo, you know, black women just not getting along with other black women.
Oh, what are your comments, Carol Mosley Brown?
What's
my,
that?
Well, what I think, I'm going to echo what the brother said. I mean, no one can take your balls, you know, unless you give them up. And if you're going to deal with a black woman, which I do, you got to have black woman handling skills. I mean, you got to have it from day one to let her know that you're the captain of the ship, and she doesn't like it, she can walk the plank. or you can put her ass off. That's how you gotta. That's the mentality you gotta have when dealing with a sister, because sisters will test you. They will try you. They always look for weaknesses, and they're always probing you. And you have to stand on it. And a lot of brothers, I actually make more money than my wife. But even if she did make more money than me, I'm still going to run shit. And if she doesn't like it, then hell, she can move on. We'll get me somebody else. That's my mentality that I have. And that's the one I'm going to have. But you're right on your stereotypes, man. You're pretty accurate on them. You know, you're dead on, bro.
Okay. Now, kind of piggybacking on what you were saying, you know, as far as having the black man, the black woman, you know, mentality of how to keep her in control. What is that exactly for our callers and our ladies who don't know exactly what that is?
Me, you have to check them early on, because from the minute that you meet them or that you're with them, you have to let them know that I'm going to be the man of the house and you can be the woman of the house, and that's the way. That's just the way it's going to be. I'm sorry, man. I grew up in a two-parent household, and my father ran shit, and that's the way I was brought up. I'm not a tyrant or nothing, but I'm not going to have some woman running me. I'm not comfortable with that. I've seen friends of mine where the women are calling the shots. I'm just not going to allow that to go on, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, bro.
Is it coming from a leadership position? I mean, men need you to take the lead, and you're asking your woman to follow, or are you just setting the guidelines to say, look, this is what it is?
Like I said, I'm the captain of the ship, and if she doesn't like my lead, then I can drop her off at the nearest port. I'm not going to have some woman running me, because I've seen those relationships where women are have all the power, they never work. They never, ever work. I've seen them, man, where the women's calling shots and the man's weak and he's just running behind his woman and yes, dear. It just doesn't work, man.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, bro? Talk to me.
We co-captain this ship. we co-captain this thing. I mean, really, there are going to be times when, you know, she takes the lead on things, and there are times that I will. Hold on, back up, Nick. Back up. That water's going to be hot. And,
don't be cold, Daddy.
All right, Nick. It's not cold.
I'm the same way.
All right, that's warm. Put your hand in there. Okay, but no, then there are things I take the lead on, you know. But you know, it takes clear communication. All right, you want the shower on? All right, here we go. Let me make sure that... Hush, boy. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. Finish your comment before I move on.
Yeah. One of the things that I heard you allude to is just women not loving each other, liking each other. A few days ago, we had two women in the mayoral race here, Carol Mosley Braun and Pat Watkins, and evidently. Pat Watkins has some type of substance abuse background, you know, in her teens. But Carol Mosley Braun saw fit to throw that up, you know, when Pat Watkins asked, where you been the last 20 years? You know, she was really, you know, she it was a legitimate question. Where have you been? What have you been doing for the city of Chicago? This woman says, well, if you hadn't been strung out on drugs for 20 years, you know what I've been doing.
Wow.
So that's hate.
Wow.
Man, it came out, man. I was. It's a name. You can probably YouTube it. You know, check it out. But it was really one of those moments that kind of show. It kind of exemplifies, you know, the hate that we have for self. You know, and you know, as far as women doing things to augment their bodies, you know what? I mean, whatever you gotta do, whatever makes you happy, but. You know, I feel like, you know, some of that stuff is just wholly unnecessary, you know. But if that's what you're gonna do, that's what you're gonna do. You know, I mean, you're not gonna stop no grown person, you know. But you know, as far as running your shop, man. I mean, a real relationship, you know, the man takes the lead. But, you know, as your relationship grows, you two are going to lead together. She ain't going to, she, I mean, you ain't going to, you're not going to be like in Qatar or someplace where she walked behind you and she's a silent partner. But she, you know, my wife voices her, says what she needs to say, and I want her to, you know. I want her to give me that, you know, that information that I need to make decisions and give me her feedback. But I don't think we've never been in a situation where I'm calling the shots. In fact, you know, she tells me to call more shots. I need you to make this decision, you know. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, if you being the man, if you're the man, she going to see it, and she going to either fall in line, you know. But if not, you know, like my man Greg said, make that happen, walk the plank. You know,
but you know what? Hey, in my household, we share on a lot of decisions. I mean, she probably makes 95% of all the decisions in the house, but the 5% of the ones are kind of important, like where we're gonna, you know, the next house we're gonna buy, or we're gonna buy a car, you know, whether I like the way she's dressed when we're going out. I'm going to make those, or my daughter, I don't like what she's wearing, something like that. Now, it's like the major stuff that I'm going to chime in on, and that's just kind of how, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Right.
But, okay, I'm saying that, fellas. Yeah. I mean, that's keeping it real. I mean, you're kind of actually tying in to one of the next stereotypes that we have about black women. They don't want to be miss their husbands. So based on what you're telling me right now, it sounds like you have a situation where your wives are actually being submissive, and a lot of people really don't understand what being submissive is. Yo, Greg, why are you on the phone, man? Talk to us a little bit about submission. You know, can you define submission in your relationship?
Submission to me is just an agreement. I've never been a big fan of a woman being so submissive. It's just, to me, an agreement that we can make a decision together, you know, that she will, we can come to an agreement. Sometimes I actually submit to her will. If you've been married, anybody's been married long enough, you know that a lot of times a woman's going to win the battle. You're going to say to hell with it and quit. Guys give up because we don't want to hear it. You know what I'm talking about. Hell, all right, whatever, you know. you win, whatever you want, you know, I'm cool with it. So it's just an agreement, but a lot of, you know, I really hate to dump on sisters because a lot of these problems that you're talking about are problems that women have generally. It isn't just a black woman thing. It's all women are kind of catty and have this problem. But sisters particularly have a problem with just not knowing when to shut up sometimes and just let a man be a man. You know, that's a problem I see a lot in sisters. They don't know when to just be quiet and say, okay.
Mm.
They always have to get the last word in for some reason, you know, which I can't figure out.
You know, it's funny you say that because there, and I don't know if you're on the blog or not, but in the chat room it's going crazy. The Black Patriot is in the chat room, and I'm going to let you know what the Black Patriot is saying. They're saying bottom line is black women are raised, black women are raised to compete with black men from a very young age. And they say other races raise their daughters to be wives, and we raise our daughters to be single mothers and employees of other companies.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what?
That's intense, man. I've never heard that before.
And you, and I've actually dated both black and white and Hispanic women. White women are not, you know what? White women aren't as submissive as people think they are. They use different tactics than sisters. White women just manipulate you to get what they want. Sisters are in your face, you know, pointing the fingers, all up in your face, threats and all this other shit. White women, Asian women, they manipulate you. Men do not mind being manipulated. What we hate is a woman getting in your face, hollering and screaming, making threats. Sisters just need to change their tactics. That's all they got to do is change their damn tactics. Okay.
Well, hold that thought, man. I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to come back to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are hearing from married black men on the line talking about the stereotypes of black women as well. So let's hear from the single man also. Let's hear what the single man have to say. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend? Was with a Z. The call-in number, for those of you all who are just chiming in, 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. We've heard from Chicago. We've heard from Baltimore. Let's bring it on back to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Keenan Green. Keenan, what's on the line? What's going on, man?
Man, what's happening, bro? How you living, man?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling, bro, literally. It's cold down here.
Yeah, it's freezing, man. I was wanting to listen tonight, but then I pinged in when you said that some young lady in the chat room said that black women are raised to be competitive to black men.
I've never heard that before.
What you just told me is, as a single brother, that women out there really want to compete against us? Why? Really? Why? The thing is that I understand that our section of our race of people are now being raised by single parent home. So you're telling me that because somehow the father's not there, the women are teaching the other women to compete against men, and then whereas in the more dominant, more married races like the Mexican and the white, they're teaching their women to be submissive and wise. There's a problem there. That means all women in a whole have some form of complex somewhere. Because now I'm wondering is, why would you want to compete? Because the goal is for everyone is to be one with someone else. You know, as being a promoter, I know that black women try to show up other black women by where they look and everything and stuff like that. You know, they're coming up, they're very popular and powerful in corporate America. But if you really look at all that achievement that you have, which is great and wonderful on paper, if God takes all that from you, what you have then? You don't have anything. So the thing is, and what most people need to understand is, are you happy within yourself? Because if God takes everything from you, if you go through a layoff right now, and if you go through a layoff and your relationship is great with the person that you're dealing with, your family, your mate, or whomever you're dating, your church, your friends, that support system, that means everything's going to be better. So why compete? Why compete if those small things make you better? I'm curious about that because I don't really like that person who chimed in and pinged that on your blog. They need to call in and elaborate on that one. You know, don't leave that on the blog. Call in with that one. Let's educate us on that so we can see some of these signs that are coming up and help a brother like me. Oh, that's that young lady right there that's gonna compete against me, even though I don't want to compete against her. She gonna be my competitor. I don't need a competitor in my house. I need someone to strengthen me so I can comfort her and protect her because she's giving me that strength and that motivation. I want to come home and look at that young lady like, may have a bad day, but when I say, well, my whole bad day disappeared. But if you're competing against me, that means I got the man at the job, I got my coworkers, and I got my house competing too. That's a problem, man.
It is a problem. It is a problem. It's a big problem. You know, and I also want to, I mean, I'd like for that person to go ahead and call in as well. Maybe chime in about that or even elaborate in the blog room, just like Keenan said. But, I mean, even looking at this as one of the next stereotypes even chimes in, and Keenan and Greg also chime in, what you think about some of the stereotypes that black women seem to always be angry, mean, and hateful, you know, full of drama and frustration and things that they just cannot let go of, holding old issues.
You know why? Because They are a gender of people that they do everything out of emotion. And when you get disappointed in your emotions, you don't think straight through everything. Because, ladies, when you get disappointed at, men get disappointed in the same way. We just handle it differently. The thing is, everything in this world ain't about you. It has nothing to do with you. It was better than you. So if you think about anything that's better than you, then you'll be fine. And then you also have to think about if God calls you home tomorrow, what you was worried about the day before, is it really that important? And if you start thinking like that, you'll look over a whole lot of things like, oh, well, it just happened. Move on to the next thing.
You know, Keenan brings up something pretty interesting there. Greg, you want to chime in to follow up on that, or maybe, you know, go against the grain?
Well, I have to go by what I see. I may get maybe – I live in D.C. I may have a sister smile at me or say good morning to me maybe two or three times a month. I'm serious.
Wow. Wow.
And usually, I hate to see this, but when I walk by a black woman, usually I get two looks. They look at me with disdain or I see hatred. I see that all the time, and I don't know why that is. I see a lot of hatred. When black women look at me, I see hatred, bro. Hatred. I'm serious.
Why is that? Is there something that you have done?
I don't know where it comes from. And I don't live far from a middle school. And sometimes I get home early from work. And I can see sometimes black girls walking by, and they're looking pissed off and angry. I see it all. I don't hate black women. I actually love black women. But for some reason, man, I don't get the warmth from black women at all. I haven't gotten warm. You know, the ones that are older, okay, like the ones over, say, 45, they're normal. They speak to me. They smile, good morning. But the younger black women, I feel hatred. I think like they hate black men. I see nothing but hatred in their eyes. I'm serious. It's a heart attack. I'm not making this up.
Really?
Yes. They don't smile.
Now, is this something stemming from other people as well? Can other people tie into this same feeling that you're getting? Because there has to be a reason why. We can't just say that they're doing that and not understand the reason why.
I think I know why. They hate us, man. Shit, I mean, it's simple, man. A lot of these sisters hate our asses. I don't know why. But I live in D.C., which is, you know, it's getting whiter now, but it's like 60% black. Yeah, I actually live in Maryland. D.C. is like a mile from my house. But I can see white women, and we have a lot of murders and killings here, but white women can speak to you, and they'll say good morning, you know, they'll smile, whatever. Sisters, I do not ever get a good morning. I never get a smile. I don't get nothing but hatred. They're a little bit better in the Midwest, but here on the East Coast, man, I don't know why that is. Maybe they're a little bit better in Chicago or, you know, wherever you guys are from. But here in D.C., bro, these sisters, they just keep it moving. They have a phrase there, just keep it moving. You know?
Well, we don't know if it's a regional thing going on. But, ladies, I mean, Greg is saying that, you know, it's something about the black women out there in the East, D.C., Baltimore, Laurel area. I mean, what's going on? I don't know if it's across the world, but – you know, it's got to be a reason. It's got to be something behind this anger, you know, this hateful. I mean, the drama. I know we see a lot of that drama on television, and a lot of us are just kind of tuning in to the issues and the stereotype that we see. You know, the New Yorks from the Flavor of Love and the, what is it, the basketball housewives or the NBA, something like that. I really can't get into it. But I know it's something along the lines where there's just like an evil aura or a mean-spirited woman. And I'm not quite sure where this is coming from. So, fellas, keep chiming in, talking to us tonight. We're talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black women. This is not a woman-bashing session, ladies, and I want you to understand that. We're getting to understand what's going on and why we think the way we do. You need to understand where these men are coming from as to why we're saying what we're saying tonight, so you can get a better understanding of what the black man is thinking about you. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, spell was with a Z. The call-in number again, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and program this into your cell phones and in your Blackberries and make this your every Wednesday weekly activity, following us on Facebook as well. If you're on the Blog Talk Radio chat room and on the blog, you click on the link and you can follow us on Facebook and chime in about the topic as well. Now, fellas, I'm going to let you know, the ladies are in the chat room, they're in the blog, and I'm going to let you know what they're saying via the blog, not on the phone, but via the blog, because I want you to stay obtainable tonight. We have Miss Baxter that says, a stereotypical Negro, now this is her words, a Negro will get a sideways look from her, but a stand-up man dressed like he's got something going on for himself is going to get good looks of appreciation. So she's looking at the appearance. A stand-up brother. Interesting. Thank you, Tiana, for that message right there, Miss Baxter. So let's go ahead and go to the phone line, fellas, and keep it real and keep it 100. Let's go ahead and take it out to the 919 area code, number ending in 5317. Who's on the line with us tonight?
Hey, this is Alma.
Alma, this is the young lady that's in the blog?
Yes.
I need you, okay, sweetheart. I appreciate you calling in, but I'd like for you to go ahead and stay in the blog and maybe address your issues there, because tonight we're hearing from the men, and we want the men to go ahead and chime in and talk real tonight, if you don't mind. So we appreciate
all right.
your time. Next week, we're going to be talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black men, and the ladies are going to be on the phone lines.
Well, I had something to say about the black women. I wasn't on the side of the black women, actually. I'm against the black
That's
women.
Okay. That's okay, sweetheart. If you wouldn't mind, go ahead and let that loose off in the blog and let it be known how you feel, so we'll know there. But those of y'all who need to know what Alma's saying, go to the blog,
right.
go to the chat so you can understand what's going on with her tonight. Fellas, let's keep it real. And you see, the ladies are chiming in, but it seems like the fellas, the phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are blowing up. It looks like bad traffic right about now with all these red lights going on up in here. But sometimes, fellas, you know, Keenan, Greg, you know, Gav, I know y'all know this, sometimes the fellas just don't want to stand up and talk. They rather just sit back and be like, you know what, let's go on, let her say what she got to say, because usually she right. Stand up. Greg is standing up. Keenan is standing up. Gav, what do you think about this, man? What's going on with you in the shot? I know you're
well,
hearing
I,
all
I can,
this.
I can tell you this, because I'm a history, I'm a political scientist, man, and I'm going to tell you something. Hold on one second. Hey, where are you supposed to be? Get out. Stay out of Nick's room. You go to your room. Why you take her Elmo? Stop. All right. All right. What the women's lip movement, I can tell you, was the worst thing to happen to the black woman. All right? Because all of a sudden you had these women telling the black woman, that, hey, you know, your men are treating you like this, and you, and then, you know, you, if you do this, you're going to have these rights, and, you know, and we know that that didn't happen. We know the women's lib movement only helped white middle-class women. That's the only people it helped. It didn't help black women. In fact, it made things worse for them, because now, you know, they were spoon-fed this dream or this thought that, oh, now everything is okay. And now we're going to, you know, it's going to be all equal. No. And it pit them against us, the men in their lives, the, you know, the men in their communities. So now, you know, I think to a certain extent, you know, they're still drinking on that women's lib soup to a certain extent. And not realizing that women's lib doesn't help them. You know what I'm saying? Our struggle,
oh boy.
The struggles for the black man and the black women have always been tied together. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm struggling, she's struggling. You know, it's not, it's never been us, the black man against the black woman. That wasn't our battle. You know, I mean, do you understand that? So fast forward, you know, we have in our society we have a lot of these bitter women, and they're not bitter because of anything that they've done, that we've done to them, you know. But I mean, if you take it back, you know, what have their dads done to them? What have their uncles done to them? What have you know, the guy that stood them up last night, or the guy that they were in their relationship? What have they done to them? You know, it's not on us. It's nothing personal to Greg. Nick, give that back to her. It's her Cinderella thing. Give it back, man. I'm on the phone. Thank you.
Well, what about the fact that I want to also bring this up to you as well, and kind of stand right there, Gab. Let's look at another stereotype that a lot of people have about black women, and this is something that I want Keenan to address first, if you don't mind, that men think that black women are gold diggers. You know, today, they just want to know where them dollars at. What's in it for me? How can I get paid? What you driving?
You know what, Andy? As we get older, you start seeing the different types of gold diggers as you get older. You have the materialistic gold digger. Then you have the business-minded gold digger. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Well, the materialistic gold digger, that's that little young chick that's stuck on the car, the diamonds, how you floss and everything. How you walk in, she can see how good she looks in the passenger seat and of your car, and come in your house, see how you, you know what I'm saying, well, how you living, talking about shoes. I could just camp out over here, tell my girls, I stay with old dude who got a 5,000 square foot home with the pool in the, you know. But then you got the business-minded gold digger. You know who that is? That's that woman that's really, she your helpmate, but you got to be careful with her, too, because that's that one that when she see you out at the business meeting and you having your business at the business meeting, you member of all these organizations and stuff, and you president of this, and you running this, and then you got all these ties to all these people that helped you just in your community circle. She's a gold digger trying to get in that circle to up herself by being next to you and then spit on you. You know, so you gotta be careful the type of women you meet now, because you're running a boat from. Because everybody right now, the way this economy and the market is, everybody's out for self. You know, so, you know,
To hear that, and it is, because where's the gold digger mentality coming from? And I understand you're going to need something. Everybody needs a little something. You know, it's all about the barter and the trade. You know, give me something, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. But where's gold diggers? Is this something we created, or is this something that they've just been doing?
And see, that's why, you know, if you really pay attention, and my boys that I run with, and, you know, you run up and everything, they said, you know, a lot of them say, he's an old country cat, you know? I wear a T-shirt, jeans, white Chevy truck, you know what I'm saying, baseball cap, yeah. But when I go in the business room, I have my suit, my nice little tie and everything, and then when I'm out with that, you know, hey, my truck clean, I go to the club too. I can run in both circles, but also I can see you a mile away. Because, see, what you do is, to end that gold digger, that professional gold digger, ask her about stocks, bonds, land, and all that other stuff. Because she may want to be in that arena, but if she can't talk herself through that arena, then you automatically know, don't put her in that arena on your arm. Because while you talking to the other guy, and he got his female there, she needs to be able to have that conversation with his wife. Because now she may need to piggyback and bounce off some stuff off his wife, just so you can both of y'all come together. That's how you find out what's going on with that. And then that materialistic gold digger, well, you know what she's good for. She's just good for that one night hit, to be honest with you. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? So if you just need a hit, you know, that night, you know, you go to the club where you know the gold digger's gonna be. Where the 21 and 28 year olds gonna be at. Drive up to how the one that's sitting at the bar by herself. There it is. She's gonna be impressed because you came in out of there. You know?
Hey.
Tell your mouth.
Hey, this gold digging stuff started, you know where it started at? Cinderella, man. Think about the story, the only girl here is Cinderella. Cinderella was a broke ass girl, didn't have no money, didn't have nothing. She borrowed some clothes. She said, I'm gonna go to a ball, meet me a rich dude, a prince, and come up, okay? That's where all this shit started, right? Cinderella was the original gold digger. And women are, you know what, you got women out here gold digging trying to get dudes social security checks out here in D.C. and you know, and pensions, man. You know, there's all levels of gold digging out here, right? And I don't think sisters have a market on gold diggers. There's white gold digger, Asians, man. All I've met all kind of gold diggers, all colors. Sisters do not have that market cornered. But I tell you what, other women are more sophisticated with their gold digging than black women. You got women like Tiger Woods' wife. I'm not calling her a gold digger. She leaves Norway to go work as a nanny, okay, for rich golfers, you know. White women will gold dig. They'll work at a Starbucks in a rich neighborhood, or they'll work in a gymnasium where rich people are at to meet rich men. That's how they gold dig. Sisters, they just, their level of gold digging is much lower than other women. So, yeah, I don't think black women have gold digging a monopoly on it. I think it's worldwide, cuts across all nationalities, race, colors, and creeds, man.
Well, that's a good point to bring up, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, this show, as y'all know, it's intense. We keeping it hot. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. Men, push option one to chime in on the topic tonight. We've heard from D.C., Chicago, Dallas, Texas. Let's swing it over a little bit further, just a little bit to the west of D-Town, out in Funky Town, Fort Worth, Texas, and hear from my man Michael Styles Jackson. Mike, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's happening, fellas?
Welcome to the happy hour, Mike. What's going on, man? You know we keeping it real tonight, brother. We talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black women.
Right. And I was
just touched on the fact about women. Black women are gold diggers, and Keenan and Greg had two different perspectives about the same thing.
And I was listening to that, man. And you know, they are true. We do have black women who are gold diggers. But I remember the question was asked is, where are they getting it from?
Right.
I didn't hear anybody touch on that. I mean, true. Well, I heard somebody, they touched
Cinderella
on it, but they didn't really just. Well, you know what? The Cinderella thing, I could go for that, but then I would have to go a little deeper than that, man. Because
please,
y'all know I'm somewhat about, I love reading history. And within reading our history, man, I mean, you know, the gold digger mentality goes all the way back, I could say probably all the way back to Africa. That is something because it has always been within the status of many of our African cultures that if you wanted to be deemed high up in society, you had to have certain things. The way your hair was braided, whether it was how many kids you had, if you wanted to be considered to be an influential woman, you had to have certain things. That has never changed with our women.
Right.
Even on the slave plantations, it did not change.
Okay.
Okay, that has been riding all the way through, man. That has been part of society for a long time. You know, that's just something that's there. But the change, I mean, truthfully, the reason it's probably worsened is because we propagated, man. I mean, look at how we have basically propagated everything from women feel like they have to go to the point just to have something in life and to have everything that they got or want. They feel like they have to actually be prostitutes dancing on poles or whatever it is to get what they have to have. Because, I mean, we as men, we ain't really stepped up to the plate in a long time. I'm just going to put it there. Because if you want to know why you having a problem with your woman, we got to look at us. But, yeah, it's a problem with the gold digging mentality, but the only person that can stop it is the black man.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
we can
real
say
talk.
We can say what we want, fellas, but it lies with us. I mean, look at the music that our young black men put out. Look at the music videos. What is it portraying? The female who got the most power is that female that's the gold digger. We sit up here and glorify her.
Now, are we even
doing that
with our sisters with the black exploitation films, like the Foxy Browns, the Halle Berrys, even the Angela Bassett, so to speak?
First, I'm gonna have to take one person out of the equation. I can't even put Halle Berry up in the equation of a black exploitation star, because when you look at black exploitation films, because you mentioned Foxy Brown, that was not a big old digger. That was a strong black woman who was gonna be behind her man. I mean, because when her man got into trouble, she stepped up to the plate to make sure that justice was found. Okay, now when you pull in the Holly Berrys and people like this, that's where your gold diggers come in. Because I'm going to show you a problem now. Gold digger is this. Gold digger will sit up here and do whatever they can to have the dollar. Okay, let's look at Monster Bob. She got her Academy Award, but she sold her soul just to get that, to get the power that she got today.
Wow.
Typical gold digger, Hollywood style.
Wow. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about what's going on tonight? We're talking about the stereotypes of black women. Ladies in the chat room, are they real? Are they a myth? Are the brothers right on point? Or are we way off the ship and dragging by a thin string? I think we're coming with it, fellas, tonight. I think this is something that's very key. I want to keep moving on. The gold digger is just what it is, man. I mean, we're talking about that something strong. I might have to come back to it, Mike, but I want to keep the ball rolling and go on and go to the next one. And I think this is something that we all going to have to just go ahead and lean back a little bit in your chairs. If you got to have a drink, go ahead and pour yourself a drink. If you need to just relax on this one, because now we're about to hit the fire, ladies and gentlemen. Coming down the hill, and we're talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black women. Let's look at it, because it's been said more often than not that black women aren't as open-minded to sexual desires as often as other races. Uh-oh. Now we got to get to your privacy issues, baby. What's going on in the bedroom? Is she not being as, not to say submissive, but not creative and maybe not as willing as others outside the race? Let's talk about that, fellas. Let's get real with it. Mike, you've been right there. Go ahead and hit that before I talk to the fellas about this.
All right, man. Y'all know, as y'all know, I work up in a hair salon, right? And, I mean, that's a subject that we talk about a lot of times, but what I'm starting to find out is that it's not so much that black women aren't as open. They're not as open publicly. They don't tell their business like other races do. You know, that's just an everyday conversation that takes place. But without women, I mean, behind closed doors, I really think it's more of how you come at them. I mean, me, myself, in all actuality, I haven't met a woman that doesn't sit up here and won't get outside the box, so to speak. I mean, there's plenty of black women out there that are sexually liberated, but it's somewhat on us if we know the right words to sit up here and say to get them to open up.
Mm.
I mean, because, like I say, conversations take place all the time, you know, and topic of conversation sometimes leans toward that, and many times I hear it's the other way around. And I think it's somewhat on both sides, but like I say, my experience with dealing with the women, I mean, I haven't had a problem with that. I mean, you can call it what you want, you can call it freaks or whatever, and I think that's what it is. They have a problem with that label being on there. When you say freak, it's like this taboo type thing. And they don't want to be called a freak or a hoe in the bedroom or whatever. But, man, if you look on a lot of these sites, the websites like the Moco Spaces, the Facebooks and everything, man, all you got to do is look on there, and I guarantee you'll find they're more open than what you think.
Okay. Hey, Gab, I know you're on the line with us, man, in Chicago, man. We're going to just take it up north. I mean, even though your Bears didn't make the Super Bowl, talk to us a little bit about that, man. What do you think about what we're talking about here about them being open-minded, sexual desire?
I don't know, I'm married.
I think, that's why I came to you, brother.
I think that if they're outside of a committed relationship, I think there's a lot of apprehension to do certain things. Or in some women, you know, they're afraid, like, well, I did this. I don't want to get back to anybody, you know, or I don't want, you know. But I'm like this. I do whatever makes me happy and my wife. So, you know, there is no. Yeah, I know. Here we don't. You know we. You know my goal is to put her at ease. you know, like anybody, you know, you don't put that woman at ease, she's gonna give you what you want. Yeah. But that's just me.
Well, I heard kids in the background, so something happened.
Yeah,
you know,
something
I'll tell you on that, brother. Come
I don't
on
know,
in
man.
There.
I don't know. Huh? I think they're a chemistry experiment.
Come on with it, Kenan. Talk to me a little bit, man. I know you're a single brother. You know,
what'd you call? What?
Well, on my end, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, the sisters are quiet. You know, I mean, they are quiet. And it's not just them. There's other women, too, you know. It's one of those, you know, sometimes you got to be a tit-for-tat type of person with an African-American female where on some of the races, you know, they just about, hey, you know, it is what it is. But I do know some sisters and have experience with some sisters, you know, they're about pleasing their man. When they feel that they're comfortable with you and you've shown them that you're comfortable with them, they're about making that whole experience, one of the best experiences you can go through, you know. But as far as them saying that, you know, they just secretive, and I can't be mad at them for that because, you know, we got some brothers out there, man, some younger brothers. It don't matter who you are. They're going to put you out there. If you ain't doing nothing but kiss on the cheek. You know what I'm saying? They're going to talk and make themselves sound better than they really are. You know what I'm saying? So that's where the women really get their shine away from. If younger brothers who try to make their little manhood bigger than what it is keep their mouth shut, you might get to experience a little bit more than what's going on. You know? That's the problem that I've been seeing around here lately. Dudes been shooting chillies, like my boy said, on their manhood, bro. And really ain't even what they say to you. You know? And then women hear that stuff talking about, yeah, dog, I went out with her, man, and she showed me the town. Okay, she showed you the town, like, man, this is where this building was, and this is where this restaurant we could go eat at. But, you know, we don't go in depth on that. You know, we leave the door open for what our imaginations could be and put a woman out there bad like that. You know, the little boys do that. You know what I'm saying? So if I was a woman, you know, hey, I'd be skeptical too, bro. Real talk.
Wow.
I mean, that's real, man.
That's real.
I want you all to just understand. I'm going to read what's going on in the chat room. Sharita's actually said, you know, we're saying it. We're on it. You know, what happens in the room stays in the room, point blank. You know, true, but it is what it is. Freak is not a good word. You know, they sexual or just say that she does, that she's different in a special way. Interesting. Thank you, Sharita, for chiming in on that one. But, I mean, maybe it's the verbiage. Maybe it's how it's stated that there's a little resistance and the mind is not as open to those sexual desires or positions or, you know, different things that can go on in the privacy of the bedroom, you know, when it's time to, you know, wipe the brow and pass the hot towel around the room. I don't know. Maybe it's the verbiage that's being stated. But that's something very interesting to bring up. You know, Sharita brings a good point. The ladies are representing in the chat room, fellas. They on the phone lines here tonight, but I appreciate y'all for being, you know, obedient and submissive to the request to chime in on the line as well tonight. But men need to talk. You need to hear what's going on. And, in fact, understand, as we say, log in, listen, and learn from what and how the men are feeling about you. In order to get a better understanding of what you're portrayed and who you're thought to be, this is not to say this is a negative connotation, but this is the stereotype of how men are seeing our black women. And we want the women to know that we need you, we encourage you, but these are some of the things and these are some of the qualities that we're pointing out. Fellas, I also want to bring this up as well. Let's bring this up, you know, as rounding out the top 10 as well, but think about this. And it's also stated that black women can be very judgmental and have a negative attitude as a whole. Why is this? What's going on with that statement? Man, that's painful just to think about that, to have a negative mindset. You know, like Greg was saying earlier, he speaks, they don't say anything back. I don't know why, But, I mean, just by what he's telling me, that's kind of negative, man. He's being open enough to speak and be polite and address your day and can't get that back in return. Now, whatever's going on between that to start that, I don't know. But the least somebody could do is just say hello and be courteous. You know what I'm saying? Greg, wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I have a theory on why sisters are so negative and bitter. It's kind of crazy. Here's my theory on it, man. I think a lot of sisters want to be where white women are at. They like the fact, you know, white women are kind of the top dogs in America, right? And white men put them on pedestals. I think sisters resent the fact that they're not on the pedestal for the world to see here in America. And I think that's why they have a lot of animosity towards black men for not putting them where they feel they belong, where they need to be.
Okay.
I know that seems crazy, but that's my opinion of it. And also, I noticed you have a lot of guests in here. You know what? I bet most of these guests are women listening in this chat room to sharpen up their game. I can guarantee it, bro.
I don't doubt it, man. I don't doubt it. I mean, because we let the ladies know we're going to chime in, we're going to keep it real. And
you know what I was saying? White women are top dogs, like, as far as the media. But I don't think white women are the top dogs. I think black women rule over all women. But here in America, the white woman is, you know, she's always on TV. She's perceived to be, like, the most women that most men want. I don't. But that's how they're viewed around the world. And a lot of sisters resent the fact that these white women are there, and they really want to be there. They don't want to be white women, but they want to be on that pedestal. That's my opinion of it. And I think a lot of black women actually resent black men for slavery, Jim Crow, and all this other shit. I really believe that deep down, man.
Now, why is that? Talk to me about that. Why do you believe that?
Because I look at black women sometimes, and I see hatred. And I also there's something else I watch. I look at black women when they look at their kids sometimes and their sons. If you ever notice, a lot of times, man, these sisters will look at their sons with hatred and disdain. I see a lot of times at the malls, you know, and they talk down to their sons. They treat their sons like shit, and I see it a lot. It's like they have this intense hatred for black men because they're not where white women are at, and that's why they're angry. This is women's psychiatry I'm trying to break down. I'm not a woman, but this is how they think, man. We're thinking like men. We have to quit thinking like men. Women don't think like us, man. So this stuff goes way back, man. The slavery, Jim Crow, all this stuff. Black women resent us, man. They have been resenting us for the last 40, 50 years.
I want to say this, that you never know. I mean, the thing is, brothers, we have to – bottom line is our communication. I mean, I think this conversation that we're having right now is very good. I mean, we're bringing up some points that a lot of, you know, how black men are feeling. You know, ladies, whether you agree or disagree, you know, you need to know how men are feeling and what their image is that is being portrayed. You know, it's oftentimes we don't talk about this and we brush it under the rug as if we're just supposed to accept this for what it is. And that's not fair and it's not healthy. You know, there may be some women out there who may and may not agree with what Greg has to say, but you have to let that point be heard because this is what he's seeing and this is what he's feeling inside about black women, you know, maybe based on a situation that he's gone through or based on just what he's saying in the media as perceived to work. So you can't knock his opinion because it's very strong and he's meaning that. And I want to let you know, man, I appreciate you for chiming in and speaking your mind on this. Also, you know, before we go back to the phone lines again, let me hear a little bit from my man in Fort Worth. Mike, you want to chime in and just kind of follow up on what Greg had to say?
Yes, sir. You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth, man. He really hit a valid point. And I know a lot of sisters might be mad, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. I'm going to play Rick's spot for a minute. All right? I'm going to come straight across the board hardcore with it. You know, it amazes me how many sisters will sit up here and see a brother who has it together, who got a good job, drives a nice car, got his own. And when he speaks to you, you look at him like he got shit on it. But then when you see that boy come through and he got that swag, got that bad boy look, he going to disrespect you. He going to approach you and talk about, what's up, little mama? Man, you just walked out. And I'm not talking about no female that's about a hood. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the females that everybody considers to be the good girls. These are the ones I'm finna sit up here and just tell about themselves real fast. You'll give him the time of day. And you can't deny that you don't look at your sons with disdain, because you do. But I can tell you why you do it. 9 times out of 10, if his father's not there, he look anything like his father, you still have hatred for the fact that his father's not there. Don't hate the boy. Dislike
wow.
Dislike the actions. Okay, yeah, he's not there. He's not there to help you teach this boy how to be a man. You think. But you have a greater responsibility and a greater opportunity than anything, because what you can do is you can show him how not to be like his father. Step up and take some responsibility. All right?
You know
you
what? Hey, man,
that's
real.
You got to come in with it, man. You know,
that's real talk, bro. That's real. I mean, ladies, I want you to understand, these men are swinging hammers tonight, and they're coming real. You're hearing married men. You're hearing single men. You're hearing brothers come with the real deal. You know, and, you know, we wonder and we sit back and we look and we try to understand the image and the stereotype of the black woman. But, you know, sometimes even from my perspective, I want to see, you know, like kind of not necessarily saying what's going on with our society today, but also looking at the society of yesterday as well. I mean, we had positive sisters that stepped up as far as the Mary McLeod Bethunes, the Madam C.J. Walkers, the Florence Griffith Joyners, the Gwendolyn Brooks. You know, those are women who stepped up in positions, you know, not as leaders. And they did their thing. They were maybe they were quiet, maybe they were a little brash and outspoken. But, you know, we need to follow suit and, you know, number one, understand our women, understand their needs, understand their desires, because maybe if we take a little bit more time to, you know, have an understanding, and that's just in the word, you know, everything you do, get understanding, and figure out what's going on so we can communicate with one another a little bit better, then the problems that we're having and the problems that we're facing, we may not have to go through this on such a continual basis. Now, these stereotypes have been stemmed for a long time, and the image that we're portraying as black women, or not as black women, but towards black women, is saying such that we just have our mind made up that this is what it's going to be, and we are not going to change. We're going to talk about it, but we're not going to do anything about it. And I think that needs to be addressed. We just keep it real, y'all. Y'all know how we do on the Happy Hour. You know, it's Blog Talk Radio. This is the show where you can say what you want to say, feel what you want to say, and be heard, because I got your back. Now, as we go to the next segment, I mean, going into next week, brothers are going to have to sit back and understand how the women are feeling and understand the top 10 stereotypes of black men, because they're going to keep it just as real, fellas, and we're going to have to sit back, you know, sniff and snot and suck it up, because the ladies are going to run the show next week and chime in on this particular topic. But I want you all to just pass this around. Go to Facebook, let your people know. Follow us on Facebook. If you're in the blog room right now, ladies, you need to go on the page, click on the link that says follow us on Facebook, so you can chime in and follow us each and every week, each and every day for that matter, because you know as soon as the show is over, oh, we're going to continue to talk about this. And we're just going to keep it 100. We're going to keep it real. And speaking of real, we need to go ahead and let people know that Miss Oatmeal Brown with the Realness 101 is going to come with it each and every week, just like I do. Miss Oatmeal, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Oatmeal Brown is on the line. I know we asked the ladies not to chime in, but I want Miss Oatmeal to kind of give a snapshot and just kind of reiterate on what things have been stated and what they've heard tonight, because as the ladies address the real deal next week, we need to kind of get an idea, fellas, of what they heard, what was gathered, so we can understand what's going to happen next week. Talk to us, Ms. Oatmeal. What's going on?
Well, I'm very, very proud to say that I've heard a lot of positive feedback versus negative feedback. You know, the positive feedback, you know, with the men, you know, being leaders and, you know, females being able to understand their place, you know, and, you know, coincide with that. I mean, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some women that don't understand that. You know, it's not us as a whole. Some people get it twisted. You know, with the female, I'm not quite sure what she said in the chat room about, oh, the competitiveness. Now, I don't know anything about being competitive, but I for sure would want someone that can lead me. I wouldn't want to compete with anybody, like Keenan said. I mean, competition, a man and a woman, there's no competition. You know, each individual has their place. But, you know, knowing a female in her totality, you'll never know that, just like she'll never know a man. But there are certain characteristics that we carry. And, I mean, as far as women being negative and walking around looking bitter, I'm not going to agree with, I can't remember what his name is, who said that it's because of black females or they lack being put up on a pedestal. 99% of the time it's because they're bruised and broken within from whatever their issues are. Maybe they had an abusive father or boyfriend or husband or uncle. Maybe they were raped. Something happened in their life that causes them to walk around like that. And it's not against everybody. It's something that is going on within. And so they have to individually tap into that, go into the core, and fix themselves. They keep overlooking it, then that's when you have these females walking around, you know, either insecure with their lives and the choices that they made or these things that they have no control of that has happened to them in their lives. And going on to, you know, black females not wanting to be, you know, sexually promiscuous. They are. It's just like the cliche and the saying is, lady in the streets and the freak in the bed. All you have to do is ask her what she wants. Tap into that, and I'm quite sure that she'll be willing to try different things that, you know, are within reason. Now going on with the leadership, back to the leadership again, and finances and the gold digging part. Well, no, first I'm going to go with the leadership part. All women want to be led. Me personally, I feel that we are born with these characteristics, you know, because Adam was placed on this earth first. Eve was placed here to be his helpmate. So, therefore, we do seek someone to, you know, be that we can not just look up to in the form of, you know, they're just controlling us, but you want to know that you have security, someone has your back. And as well, the men want to know that, hey, they can feel this sense of security, this sense of upliftment. You know, this part of the piece of the puzzle is filled. And she also wants that as well because, hey, men have balls, but females have uterus. You know what I'm saying? We have ovaries. And we weren't made to be a man and to do the things that a man was made to do. So, yes, all of us do look to be led. Some females have it twisted. They're looking at it in a gold-digging perspective. He has to have this. He has to have that. He's got to have all this money. But what if you guys can't get along in a relationship? I mean, what is that? I mean, you're just seeking for financial security and not the whole foundation. So, yes, you run into a female like that, hey, like I say, dump her on her head. Because she doesn't deserve all of that. If she's coming to the table with her part, most definitely. But, you know, again, the package, you can't just go off the package. You can't just go off the sex. You can't just go off her looks. You need to get to know her as a person. I see a lot of guys that get into females because it becomes lust. You know, she's breaking them off in the bed. She has a degree, she's paid, she looks good, they get hooked, and then they find out she's a bitch. I mean, that's just how it goes. It happens all the time. If you just take a little time, a little bit extra time to get to know her, you know, it might be a game, because she could be playing a game too, but you can't hold back what's really on the inside. You really can't do that. As far as them not getting along with other females, it can be an issue, because you can have an issue of someone that is understanding, is open, you know, wanting to be there for their other sisters, but she runs into somebody who is not like that. It may come out later. At first, they may be all, you know, painting a nice picture. Oh, I'm cool, girl. I got your back. And then 6 months later, she's trying to bang your man. It just happens. Us as females, we get bruised. We might hold a grudge a little bit, you know, too long, or, you know, hold a grudge. You know, we have to, as a whole, everybody has to play their part. As you mature and you get older, you tap into that stuff, you see it. The cattiness should go away, but there's some women who grow into adult women and they still do the same old thing. Happens in church, it happens in work, happens in your family. It'll never go away. Women just have to learn how to deal with it and get past it and move on. On to the last part, the gold digging part. Keenan was talking about, yes, there's, like I said, there's the gold diggers that's out for the money. And, I mean, it is what it is. You know when you see her. I mean, because if she can't take herself where you're taking her and she wants to go to all these expensive restaurants and she wants this and she wants that, she's a gold digger. Period, point blank, it's not easy to spot. He was talking about a professional gold digger. I'm a little confused on that one, because if you have a female who's around you because you have connections on business levels or different groups that you're in, what kind of conversations are you having with this female? Is she intelligent? Does she know what she's talking about? Because I doubt if you would take a dingbat around this type of crowd and these type of people. You know, all the males that I deal with, you know, Andy, even Keenan and the whole crew, I don't deal with nothing but professional guys that got something going on with themselves, because I'm the same way. I'm bringing to the table, so I'm kind of confused on that one. I would have to talk to him later on about that one, because I really don't understand how that would work, because you wouldn't want to bring somebody around in that type of atmosphere if she wasn't bringing to the table with you on a personal conversation or level. You got to see something in her to even want to bring her around, besides just her being on your arm as a dime piece. And, I mean, that's all I wanted to express, you know, to the fellas. I mean, you guys really, really, really hit on some great key points. I hope that the ladies heard you, understood, didn't get all mad and want to jump down anybody's throats for their opinions, because they were all good opinions. Hopefully, you know, with the words that I spoke tonight, that which are real, I mean, just straight up real, honest, you know, from the brokenness within our black females, because a lot of them are broken, just like a lot of females are broken in general. But I know, you know, with being an African-American female firsthand, certain things that keep us down and keep us back, because we're like a hush-hush culture. So all these things that occur in our life, you know, we're not told to go seek help, you know, or really want to express it. You try to brush it under the rug and don't get help. And it spills out into our relationship. It spills out into your friendships. It spills out into everything until they go, you know, and tap in or want to tap into what's really going on inside of them. So what's inside of you is what shows out to the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, he kept it 100, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, those of you who all are listening to the show, this is how we get down. We get down like bad stock up in the online happy hour. This is your place of comfort. Each and every Wednesday night, we're going to keep it real. Now, next week, the brothers were quiet this week. I want to appreciate the brothers for stepping up. You know, Gavin in Chicago, Keenan here in Dallas, and even my man Greg out in Baltimore. So, ladies, what image are we really setting for our young women today? We don't know, I mean, but we're going to chime in and we're going to follow up with you next week as the ladies come back with the top 10 stereotypes of black men. And we're going to just keep it real on that one. I want to say thank you to all of my bloggers who chimed in tonight, those in the chat room. As I wrap up the show, I just want to say thank you for your insight. Thank you for the fantastic folks who've been calling and blogging on a regular basis and expressing your thoughts. Y'all know how we do on Blog Talk, and also follow us on howwasyourweekend.com as well, was with a Z. As you know, you make the show what it is. And I want to say thank you to you. If you had a good time tonight, follow us on Facebook. And if you got some good information, just do me a favor. Next week, as the ladies come back, tell three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with a hot one. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown, and that was Oatmeal Brown coming with the realness. Good night. Go Mob, and we gone.